Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, and I'm doing this introduction all month. I want to thank our friends over at Gray, Gray & Gray. Been hosting us all month, doing a great job. And that's because the man beside me, Rich Hershen, has been sponsoring the show, one of our reporters. Thanks, Rich.
It's been a lot of fun. I'm glad Radio Entrepreneurs can be here.
Right, and you know what? I like meeting these people from Gray, Gray & Gray we keep meeting.
Well, you know, while they're here, we got to get them on the air and hear their stories. You got some great stories.
You got a lot of talent in the bullpen.
I think so.
Yeah, it's an impressive group. And they all seem to get along with each other.
Yeah. I think we do.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've worked for a lot of accounting firms where they just don't get along with each other.
Well, I will say, we have put a lot of time and effort into the culture and the people here because that's what makes the organization. It's all the people who work here. So we do a lot of good work and have a serious side and work with our clients, but there's a fun side to us as well.
Well, that's...
I know, that's shocking. Breaking news. Yeah. Accountants can be fun.
Well said.
Let's go watch rugby, guys. Or cricket, I was going to say. So, but speaking of fun guys who are good to get along
good
with,
segue.
We have David Soper here, our nonprofit reporter for marketing. Welcome back, David.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Hey.
Glad to be here. And I want to talk about how friendly Gray, Gray & Gray is. Everybody said hello to me out there. It was like when I was one of the employees. You know, it was just
David, that's because you're devastatingly good looking.
That's part of that, and we're a friendly group here.
Did you see there were three women who walked into the studio and they were like panting? They were like, who is that guy?
Oh, I lost my fastball a long time ago.
This interview and the YouTube video has already been downloaded more than any other video. And it's not even done yet.
Wait a second. Yeah. This is only for Chris, our producer, because he's always been wondering what a fastball is. Did you ever have a fastball?
No, I never had a fastball.
Okay.
Change up. He knows baseball. Change up.
So, you know, I keep hearing stories about nonprofits and how unusual they are in the world of marketing. I just did a trip last week with a group with 13 people for a nonprofit to do a large acquisition. And then when I got back, someone said to me, you know, nonprofits lately seem to be doing more acquisitions than the profit firms. And they're out there and they're so aggressive. I mean, I don't know if that's taking you off your game, you know, by bringing that up. But do you find nonprofits becoming much more aggressive in the world of marketing?
They're starting to be more aggressive and more in starts and fits than anything else. A lot of the marketing directors and the people that I've run into really have a difficult time with what's right for their business. They'll hear their son or daughter, or they'll read trends about Snapchat. They'll start to read information about upcoming trends in Twitter, or maybe they should be doing this, or maybe they should be doing that. When in actuality, they need to sit back, and it always goes back to what's the base of your business, who's your audience, how are you going to capture them, and what's the best way to capture them. And doing something on Snapchat isn't necessarily the right way to go, unless, of course, it's towards your core audience. And one of the challenges that I have and I talk with people is, if you're unable to understand it and manage it, don't open it. In other words, don't open up a Twitter account if you don't understand it, if you can't manage it, if it's not towards your core audience. Because it's nothing worse than going to, you know, or following somebody and realizing they haven't posted something maybe in, you know, in Twitter world, maybe a half a day is a long time if you're not doing something continuously.
So it really takes a lot of effort. It's like getting a dog. If you're not going to walk the dog, don't get it.
Right. That's exactly it.
And my kids said they'd walk the dog. That hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the adults end up doing it.
Exactly. So you don't want, let's say, in a service firm to tell all the partners to open up a Twitter account unless they're prepared to. It's like the kids walking the dog.
That's right.
Right. And it's so, it just falls on deaf ears a lot of times because they think that's going to be the next golden, you know, the golden umbrella to protect them from everything or help grow their business. They're just so excited about this new technology, and they think that just because of some other businesses have been very successful at it and been able to garner leads from it, they think that we can just, you know, it's a copycat syndrome out there. And that's how social media and things like that grow, is because, you know, people get excited about the technology, somebody mentions it, and all of a sudden there's a buzz around about a particular, you know, a particular way to reach out to people, and all of a sudden business feel like, you know, we need to latch on to that. Yeah, and I think that's an excellent question by you, and I'm glad you directed it.
I gave it to him.
I know you did.
Okay.
It's always about you, Jeffrey.
And back to Jeffrey.
The challenge is versus 5 years ago, Google demands what I call yummy content. Yahoo, Bing, want this content. And it's not because they're empirical and they expect these giant players out there in the world, the bigger companies out there in the world, to be the drivers of this. They want yummy content and good content because a smaller firm can upend a bigger firm if they're offering the audience, the internet audience, something that's enjoyable, something that's, what I call nourishing, that will actually get people involved. The more interesting content you have, the more eyeballs to your site. It's not about posting, posting, posting. It's about quality, quality, quality.
Well, you're saying, I love the term. I'd never heard it before. Thank you. Yummy content. You're basically saying, put bad food on the table every day. No one's going to want to eat it.
Right.
Put delicious food that's appetizing on the table every day, and everybody's going to be running and talking to their friends about it.
And Google will get sick to their stomach if you put crap up there.
Right, and they'll try to get you off after a while. They'll screen you off.
They just won't. And it won't. It's not that Google says, this isn't like an imperialistic view. The audience is dictating, and people are dictating based on traffic. So the audience is rejecting. I say Google, I mean the internet.
Well, what's good about the internet versus, let's say, television is that television forces the content on you, and you don't really have a choice. It's either turn it on or off.
Right.
With these things, you're saying it's like milk that's unpasteurized. The good stuff will filter to the top.
Right.
And the cream will rise to the top, and that's their system, right? Let the quality and push down the garbage.
And that's where we come into play when my company comes into play is first define the business, define what you're trying to do with that widget, have a discussion of what the budget is, have a discussion of return on investment per widget, if you will, and then drive content, drive people based on the good content that we're going to put out there for you, whether it's a new website, whether it's blogging in some cases, whether it's SEO. And that's, I think, the biggest misunderstanding about marketing to nonprofits. They're built a little different, but they're also built very similarly. I mean, you have a hierarchy just like a corporation. They have a board as opposed to stakeholders and stockholders. And there's just a lot of volunteer in there and a lot of people trying to work on a very small budget with staff. So a lot of the things get missed. They're just trying to go to the next thing quicker because they don't really have strong SOPs in place like a corporation would have and test to market.
Tell our listeners about SOPs. Sorry, Rich. Yeah. What's an SOP?
An SOP is...
You forgot?
Standard operating procedure?
Yeah, standard operating procedure.
Sorry, it's just for
corporations have standard operating procedures in place that say, this is what we're going to do first. They kind of grow into something. Where nonprofits, I'm not going to say don't have SOPs, but when it comes time to introducing technology as of late in the last 5 years or so, there's no SOP in place. They're like, okay, let's get a Facebook page. Let's get, Paul and, Michelle, and we're going to build this thing. And now all of a sudden they're posting stuff and they're riding the bike just like everybody else, but they don't know how they're doing it. They're just posting events. They're just kind of doing it.
And I think one of the challenges for the nonprofits is they want to funnel all their money or as much of it as they can towards their mission of, whatever they're doing for the community. And not be investing it in, staff and systems and designing SOPs. All that takes time and money. And I think it's a challenge for a lot of these organizations to balance the two.
Absolutely.
And that's why you see them, the management team is always very thin. It's volunteers who have a day job that are trying to do this. It makes it hard.
Right, it does. And the budgets get stretched. And again, that's where a good company comes in and gives them some good ideas. We talk about baby steps initially, getting them going, getting them off to a solid start at not a very big expense.
Have a success and build on success.
Yeah, and then give them momentum and give them some excitement, much like a fundraising campaign would do for them. Kind of jazz them up, get them excited about one or two small things, and then down the road we can incorporate more as it, you know, as it begins to grow and make sense, and donations are coming in as a result, and we keep things in line with the budget.
Great. David, if somebody wants to find you and learn more about, you know, this whole evolution in marketing, nonprofit marketing, how would they do that?
You can reach me, of course, by my website. It's www.wickedlocalmarketing.com or 508-272-7190 by phone or text. I'm always available to talk and always willing to give anybody a helping hand. Calling me doesn't necessarily have to lead to business. I'll be willing to talk to others and help kind of incubate a discussion to get something going down the road. I'm always willing to donate my time to help people get things going.
Could you imagine if an accounting firm like Gray, Gray & Gray copied your marketing? Wicked local accountants, wicked local auditors.
Rich likes it. New England, it might take a, it might work.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, you can have it as a dating service too. Wicked local dates. I don't think that's going to go over too big. And that was obviously me talking, not Rich Hershen, because he would never say anything like that on the air. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been with David Soper, our nonprofit marketer, with Rich Hershen from Gray, Gray & Gray. Thank you, Rich.
My pleasure.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.